You're listening to the Almira Radio Hour, a podcast that opens the door to culture, news, and stories behind the stories. We're your hosts, Sheila Lal
and Nina Bhattacharya.
This week, we're continuing our conversation on media from the last episode. We talk about sacred games and burlesque, and heads up, they're spoilers.
But then we have, like, what I think is a phenomenal representation of Indian culture and media, and that's sacred games. So I feel like I am quite the connoisseur of Indian television, and that I can tell immediately if it's going to be problematic.
Yeah.
And the fact that a major, major production company invested so much in curating and developing a serial for the Indian market.
So just to put on a pause, Sacred Games is the first Netflix original series that Netflix has produced in India.
Mm-hmm.
And it's directed by Anurag Kashyap, a very popular film director.
Yeah.
Episodes are about an hour long. It's based on a book by the same name by Vikram Chandra.
In like the past 5 years, I have read a significant amount of Indian crime literature, and a lot of it is kind of garbage, and the way it's translated into English or into like visual media is not great. But Sacred Games does a really interesting job of interweaving like caste, geography, language, religion, gender, sexuality in a way that I had not expected to see on screen.
Can we talk about the parts where are making me a little hesitant?
Yeah, that's fine.
Just a little bit hesitant to like fully be on board with that. Was that one, I mean, full disclosure, totally binged the whole thing. There's something very compelling about this like geopolitical cops versus pies thing.
Yeah.
But this isn't really a spoiler, so don't at me, anyone. Like, none of the female characters survive. Like, I found that really troubling, just in general, that, like, even something that's been lauded for its depiction of, like, sex on screen and just, like, intimacy, for the amount of boobs I saw, I didn't see as many dicks. Like, you know, anyway, just saying, just saying that. And then,
no, definitely. So I'm not saying it's like the end all be all. I think there's a lot of work that can be done, but considering where like Indian media has been
totally
in the mainstream, it's a huge step forward. And I'm also, so we say like, okay, the two main female characters die. And then it's like, well, why are there only two? Because it's not like women don't exist in the under, or all, no, the,
I would say third, three women characters.
Three. Yeah. Three, but then you're assuming that there aren't, well, like the way that it is being portrayed is that women aren't running like underground mafias or like part of them in higher up positions, which is clearly untrue.
And someone brought this up and I didn't think of it until after, is that Vikram Chandra was also co-writer on Mission Kashmir, which was a hella problematic movie in terms of its depictions of Muslims. So some people I talked to after watching Sacred Games was like, I don't think it's doing a particularly great job at exploring like Hindu-Muslim tension / violence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I don't have a specific opinion on that necessarily, but I thought it was interesting to kind of thread that, oh, he was the author of the novel, co-wrote an early, like a 90s, early 2000s depiction of Muslim terrorist romance.
Attempt at a movie.
Attempt at
a movie. Okay, so this is a real question is, can you think of any literature or visual art that comes from India in the last 10 years that does a decent job of discussing religious tensions? Because I can't think of anything off the top of my head that has nuance.
No.
It always seems to be revolving around caste, class, and economic conditions.
No.
And always in passing.
I wonder if it's just it's such a big topic that it's really impossible to do it with nuance, is what I'm wondering. Maybe that is the resolution. I can't think of anything. All of that being said, I thought all of the acting was really subtle and wonderful in Sacred Games.
Good.
Like, yes. I've been a Saif Ali Khan stan for decades. I have been only alive for like less than 3 decades. So I know Humpthum's cheesy, but he's so
But he was good.
Cute.
And he was good in it.
Yes.
I loved him in Omkara. Mm-hmm. Specifically, that's like my number one Saif Ali Khan movie.
What was that zombie movie he was in?
Oh, Go Go Agan. That's also really good.
Go Go Agan. That was like, yes. I want Saif Ali Khan playing
that type of character.
That type of Russian gangster zombie killer. Like, yes. And so I thought he was well cast as the police officer in here, because it played on his strengths as an actor, and it didn't ask too much of him in other ways, which was like appropriate.
Yes.
You know? And Nawazuddin Siddiqui, I know he is like a little, I've heard whisperings of how he's a little bit fucked up in his personal life. He's exquisite. But
he's such a good actor.
I called it. No one believed me when I was, like, obsessed.
Gangs of Wasseypur, Miss Lovely. He was in Ma with Sridevi.
He was in Tilvar. Theen. Like, the list goes on, and I've, like, really enjoyed watching him take on more and more roles over time.
Yeah.
And he's exquisite.
And Radhika Apte is freaking amazing. Radhika, like...
Yes, so good.
I think the first thing I saw of hers was a Bengali short.
Oh, okay.
It's on YouTube. It's really good.
But have you seen Lust Stories?
I have. I liked her in it. I didn't actually like Lust Stories overall. I like that she brings to life the nuance and multifaceted nature of women.
Mm-hmm.
So Phobia is one of the shorts I've seen with her. I loved her in Parched.
Oh, what's Parched about?
Oh, you would love this movie. It was on Netflix for a while, and it's set in Rajasthan.
Yeah.
And it's about these women who are in a village and dealing with the lack of economic opportunity. Mm-hmm. There's sex work involved. There's sexuality just kind of being thrown around in different ways and just being discussed in different ways. It is such a beautiful film. But she's brilliant in that. And something I thought was really, really telling about Indian Twitter when Sacred Games came out is how many people were like, she's in everything. We want to cut. There are other actresses. We don't need to keep seeing her. It's like.
That was so dumb.
Like, y'all need to calm down. She's a good actress. Let her work. And on top of that, you don't complain about other actors being in everything. Like, Akshay Kumar should not have a career.
Yeah.
But here we are. Because he's in everything.
He is in everything. And two other performances that I truly, like, absolutely loved. I'm a big fan of Neeraj Kabbi, who played Parulkar, the slightly, the corrupt, like, he's like a very gray character in Sacred Games. Is he corrupt? Is he good? What is he? Like, is he creepy? Yeah. Is he not? Like, there's a lot of layers to him, and Neeraj Kabbi is fantastic. He also played Dr. Anukul Guha in Detective Bomkesh Bakshi.
Yes.
And he was so creepy as the villain in Detective Bomkesh Bakshi, like truly chilling. Mm-hmm. Truly chilling. And I thought, even though Talwar, I was thinking of him when I was thinking of seeing Talwar, even though he wasn't, Talwar as a movie I didn't feel like was the best thing I had ever seen or anything like that. Like, he consistently gives such a layered performance to these characters that would otherwise seem one-dimensional. And, like, he just add, like, a corrupt police officer. Like, that's a pretty straightforward kind of role for any regional Indian cinema, right? But, like, manages to add layers to it. And the other performance I really loved was, I had to look up her name, was Rajshri Deshpande as Subhadra.
Uh-huh.
She also played the maid in Angry Indian Goddesses.
Oh, yes. Okay.
And so in Angry Indian Goddesses, which was for everyone else's context, just a kind of like a...
Fantastic.
It was fantastic. It was definitely trigger warnings for sexual assault violence in the second half of the film. But she played this character who didn't speak so much necessarily, but she acted the fuck out of it.
Yep.
She there was so much subtlety in how she brought to life that character in Angry Indian Goddesses. Someone who wouldn't get attention, you know?
Yes.
Managed to inhabit that role. And she did the same, I thought, as Subhadra in Sacred Game.
Mm-hmm. Sacred Games, for me, brought up, thoughts of how mafia looks in different parts of the world. So what is the biggest resource that you can tap into that isn't regulated, but that is regulated by government and has more room for you to... infiltrate and control.
Mm-hmm.
So when we thought about the mafia in the U.S., it was alcohol during Prohibition. Now, arguably, it's politics. In India, it's garbage and water and sand.
Yeah.
I think for somebody who doesn't think about these types of patterns mm-hmm. or relationships, it probably seemed really both stunning and outlandish.
Yeah. Yeah. Would you recommend Sacred Games to non-South Asians?
I have. I have recommended it to those who I know will have more questions and do their own reading. And people who are familiar with the complexity of other countries.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recommend it to folks who see everything as black and white.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. What I thought was interesting, particularly from the Netflix standpoint, was it was definitely subtitled in many different languages, but mm-hmm. also dubbed in English, Spanish, and Portuguese.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really wonderful thing to note, because a lot of people don't know that people in Brazil really love Bollywood.
Yes.
They actually had a whole... serial, like a whole soap yes. that was about India and
mm-hmm. It was about Varanasi.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. One of my good friends, her husband is half Brazilian, and so they had they were in Brazil for a wedding last year, and she wore a lehenga, and they everyone was obsessed with her lehenga. Right? So It's really interesting how some of these cultural motifs really resonate, or even these formulas resonate in different countries. Another good example is a lot of Indian serials started off in Spanish-speaking countries, Jesse Koi Nahi, right? I think was mm-hmm. one example. There's all sorts of serials that were inspired by telenovelas that started. So
exactly. And I think one of the funniest things I saw when Sacred Games first released was how many people were angry that they had assumed it was made in English completely. And the number of people had to retweet and be like, hey, you're just dubbed it. You're in the wrong dubbed language. You can change it to Hindi. It's okay. It made me laugh so hard.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
It's really funny. There's two more things I would like to talk about with you. One of them is the POC burlesque show I saw last weekend, which is really cool. You would have liked it a lot. It was called United Shades of Burlesque, and it was hosted in a really intimate theater in Cambridge, and it featured all performers of color. And I think it was born out of this fact that in Boston, a lot of the burlesque scene or burlesque events were not necessarily representative of the diversity of the community in Boston. Mm-hmm. It was proof. It was hey, we're here.
Yeah.
We're performing. We're amazing. And you don't really have an excuse not to include.
Also, they drew a crowd.
It was sold out. The event was sold out.
So from a business perspective, it doesn't make sense to exclude.
Exactly.
Performers of color.
And they were amazing. It was amazing. All of the performances, like explored some sort of social or political message. So, mm-hmm. you know, one of the Latinx performers, Isabel Picante, she had a coat on that says, like, we do care. And also involved a glittery blue baseball bat and a Trump piñata.
Nice.
And the baseball bat was sometimes phallic, sometimes wasn't, eventually used on the Trump piñata to standing ovation in the theater. It was amazing. There was another one that explored, this was really interesting. This performer explored like trauma from the Vietnam War through burlesque. Like she started off unclothed and then wore clothes moving forward that like conveyed certain messages. Another one, another performer sang the bare necessities, but it was, they sang it talking about colonialism.
Wow.
In India, and had an amazing slideshow in the background that unpacked the, you know, the primitive brown man trope that was, and Mowgli, like,
yeah,
all of those kind of tropes and characters across different media through history. That was really interesting. Another performer, Benji Bombay, a fabulous, like truly fabulous South Asian performer, danced to a song called Barbarian, and he was fully veiled the whole time.
Okay.
And was unpacking what it meant to be a Muslim American performer, and was talking about Muslim, like, hate crimes against Muslim Americans after 9/11.
Oh, wow.
And being, you know, like, all the things he has been called, like a terrorist or a sand N-word, things like that. Of course, I have to give a shout out to my friend, Lahore Vajistan, everyone's favorite Desi drag auntie who opened up the show. Absolutely amazing. So just a whole range of really political commentary through performance. I feel like sometimes as South Asians, we don't think about the power of sexuality.
Yep.
Or like the only power we ascribe to it is like negative. Like these were like sexy performances. There were like all sorts of nipple pasties and body glitter and hip thrusting and sashaying. But simultaneously, that was used to explore a topic very seriously. And I was like, oh, like, wow, I wish there were other South Asian people who could see this and understand that, like, pleasure is political and being sexy doesn't mean it's not serious or...
that it undermines anything else about you.
Exactly.
I like that a lot. I'm really happy you got to go, and I'm hoping that more burlesque performers throughout the country, and especially in smaller cities, feel more comfortable putting themselves in a semi-public space like that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's truly a desire.
Yeah.
You know, like, it was sold out, and I have no doubt that it could be even more sold out, similar events in other parts of the country, if you got the right group of people together, you know?
Exactly.
It was nice to be in an affirming space after, like, just being constantly stressed, you know? I think we were both have had experiences of being hyper-visible while being brown, like, you at feeling visible at the barbecue. I was feeling kind of visible when I was at the beach recently. Like, just what does it mean to be a person of color in public?
Yeah,
and just then having a space to, like, whether it is a book club or whether it's on the internet, whether it's in film,
whether it's a burlesque show,
yeah,
being seen is super important without being exploited. So with that, thank y'all for listening, and we'll be back in a couple weeks.
Yeah, totally. So you can find Sheila online at Queen of Blah on Twitter, and you can find me at Only Nina on Twitter as well.
Always go to the website, OnlyRRadioHour.com, and check us out on Facebook and Twitter. And if you have any questions, comments, concerns, hit us up. We're always happy to integrate new information.
Yep. Sounds good.